Welcome. How are you? It's Eric Erickson here. The third hour of the program. I'm delighted to be with you. I am really delighted to not have to go record more of my fine book this afternoon. You Shall Be As Gods is the book. You should order it now. I do have to tell you, though, gosh, I'm a little bit embarrassed having read it. There was several grammatical errors, typos in it. There's a parenthesis that shouldn't be there. One line I thought had been fixed that hadn't been fixed about January 6th, but second editions, that's what we'll get this stuff fixed. I got to say, though, having had to reread it literally to do the audiobook, it holds up. It does hold up. You can text the word data to 33777. You can order a copy of it. It's on sale at Amazon right now. You Shall Be As Gods. The audiobook, I am exhausted from doing the audiobook. I got a golf game scheduled tomorrow. There's a Instagram grilling influencer I started following because a rec tech. Grill this, smoke that. His name's Benton. We're going to go play golf tomorrow. I got to find out if he's a bourbon and cigar guy or not to play golf with. Because that's how I like to play golf, is take some bourbon, have some cigars, enjoy your game. You're not there to make par. You're not there to play. I bet he's a better golfer than me. Everybody is. But I enjoy it. Now, we got to talk about that which is not said. I will take your phone calls. In fact, I will spend the last half of this hour making up for the phone mess we've been in. 877-973-7425. Might get to you sooner than that. I do need to say one more time, though, this is important. If you're a younger person, you're a young Republican, young professional Republican, your 20s and 30s or so, maybe your early 40s. I don't know how you classify that. But we have someone who is going to subsidize some tickets to the gathering for you guys. The normal price is $249. You can get it's a substantial discount. If you use the discount code YR to come, they wanted to make sure we had a good number of younger people there to see this great group of speakers we've got. So if you text ENGAGE to 33777, you'll get the discount or you'll get the link back. And if you're a young professional Republican, if you put YR in as the discount code, you get a substantial discount to be able to get there August 8th, 9th, and 10th. So it's the evening of the 8th and then all day the 9th and the 10th in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Grand Hyatt in Buckhead. There are hotel rooms still available as well. So we would love to see you there. Great group of people. We got the Speaker of the House of Georgia. We got the Speaker of the House of the United States. We got the Vice President, former Vice President of the United States, governors from 5 states, senators from several states, congressmen. It's going to be a great, great gathering and some surprises that I can't tell you about because we got to deal with security issues. But we'll get there. Now, we got to talk about what's not being talked about because there's a lot of being talked about Joe Biden. You need to know something. The evening newscasts this evening, the national evening newscasts for ABC, CBS, and NBC, they're going to be preempted. You will not see the newscast tonight at 6:30. There will be no national news except one big thing, Joe Biden's press conference. They've scheduled it for 6:30. It will be live. It will be covered by everyone. That's how big a deal it is. In the meantime, there are two things that aren't really being talked about. Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. Both seem to be in the witness protection program. Now, Kamala Harris is actually out there campaigning for the Biden team. She's on the campaign trail. She's standing by her man. She doesn't have a choice. The problem, however, is that Kamala Harris isn't really, she's not a great candidate. You may forget this, but Kamala Harris never made it to Iowa. Kamala Harris ran for president of the United States, and she never made it to the Iowa caucuses. That's how bad she is. That's how bad Kamala Harris is as a candidate. She's not a good candidate on the campaign trail. Now, remember, they sent Kamala Harris that she wanted a portfolio. They sent her down to Central America, and she failed on the border issues. Kamala Harris has been in the witness protection program repeatedly because she's just so bad on the campaign trail. She's just not great. Concurrent to Kamala Harris being in the witness protection program, technically on the campaign trail, but also like impossible to find, Donald Trump is laying low. I talked to some of the Trump team. The Trump team tells me that it is by design and it is his choice and he is exercising remarkable discipline. He's laying low so Joe Biden can be seen with maximum visibility. I got to tell you, it doesn't help the Democrats, I think, that every time now anybody from the White House goes on television, they're asked about the president. Jared Bernstein went on with Andrea Mitchell on MSNBC.
Can you say that he is still the person that you worked with in the White House all those years ago?
I can unequivocally say that, and it's not just based on a couple of days or a couple of weeks or one data point. It's based on a long relationship, as you just said. I was his chief economist when he was vice president, and since then, I have been briefing him on economic reports exactly like this one. Those briefings are frequent. They happen often. Sometimes they're in person. Sometimes they're over the phone, and the guy on the other end of the phone or sitting there in the Oval talking to me about these reports is as sharp as ever.
Problem is, nobody believes this anymore. Nobody believes this anymore. They just don't. And the problem is, the same people telling you that that he's a genius are the same people telling you that Kamala Harris would be a great candidate. And the level of revisionism to deal with this is bizarre. And so now you've got Trump hiding to put the full spotlight on Joe Biden. Here's what I'm told. There were serious thoughts about the Trump rally on Tuesday night announcing the vice presidential pick. But because of the situation the Democrats are in, the Republicans have decided to hold off as much as they can doing any announcement on a vice presidential pick. So you have Joe Biden now on Monday evening, the beginning of the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Joe Biden is going to have a press conference, or he's going to have a one-on-one with Lester Holt. It's going to air around the time that the media starts giving coverage to the Republican National Convention. It's going to overshadow it. He's not going to get out before the Republican National Convention. If he gets out at all, there's no guarantee he will. What the Biden team is hoping for is a shift in conversation towards the RNC and Trump's VP. So Trump is trying to forestall that as long as he can to keep the spotlight on Biden, but he can only do it for so long. He's got to have a vice president by next week, and we don't know who it's going to be. The odds are right now on Doug Burgum, the governor of North Dakota. There's a lot of buzz about J.D. Vance, but I'm not sure that's it. It probably is going to be Doug Burgum. We don't know, though. Everything is speculation. There's been a resurgence of interest in Tim Scott. Glenn Youngkin has been buzzed about, but Glenn Youngkin is taller than Donald Trump, and I just have a sneaking suspicion Donald Trump doesn't want someone taller than him on the ticket with him. So probably going to be Burgum. It might be Vance. It might be Scott. Those are the three first and foremost names. Rubio's on there, but Rubio has a constitutional issue with the 12th Amendment. Being from Florida, just like Trump is, that would cause Electoral College problems. We'll see. I have no idea. I have no inside knowledge whatsoever. There is a lot of buzz, though, about J.D. Vance, Tim Scott, and Doug Burgum. Those seem to be the big three everybody's focused on. What's remarkable is that Trump has kept this a secret. In fact, someone in Trump's orbit has told me they're not completely convinced that Trump is picked yet. He's dragging it out because he wants to see what the Democrats do now with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. He wants to see if he needs someone to be juxtaposed against Kamala Harris or not. Problem is, for the Democrats, the Trump campaign has concluded there's no mechanism for the DNC to force Joe Biden out. Major Garrett of CBS News has now come out and said as much on CBS that there are some people who are reading some language in the Democratic National Committee platform as the delegates do not have to stay with Joe Biden because the delegates are supposed to represent the will of those who send them to the convention. And even a Democrat has said, well, the will of those who send them to the convention is to beat Donald Trump. But if you don't think Joe Biden can do it, you don't have to vote for Joe Biden. But no lawyer has read it that way because it's very specifically you pledged to vote for Joe Biden. That's why you were picked. Therefore, you're going. Every candidate is presumed to be for Joe Biden or to beat Donald Trump. You're bound by the will of the voters, and the voters was for you to go vote for Joe Biden. So you're stuck unless Joe Biden releases the delegates. Nikki Haley, interestingly enough, has released her delegates and urged them to support Donald Trump for a unanimous first ballot at the Republican National Convention. Dean Phillips, I don't think he's gotten any delegates for the Democratic convention. Boy, that man, I bet he is ruining the day. You know, he's the guy who tried to challenge Biden in the Democratic primary, and they shut down primaries to be able to block the vote because they're so into saving democracy. In fact, that's one of Joe Biden's arguments to the Democrats who want him out is we're saying we got to preserve democracy. I democratically won, even though you stacked the deck, but I democratically won. How dare you throw me out and undermine democracy? And that's going to be a Republican talking point, too, that the Democrats are so concerned about preserving democracy, they threw out the guy who was democratically elected to be their nominee. If you switch and you don't go with Kamala Harris, who do you go with? Some of the Democrats who have opened this door that we could in some way have some sort of primary, the Republicans believe there's no way for the Democrats to do that, that it's got to be Joe Biden or it's got to be Kamala Harris. What I find interesting is the growing spin now and the protections of the Democrats. The Politico, literally, its top story right now, conservatives see a conspiracy around Joe Biden stumbles. The right has become obsessed with the media after the president's bad debate. We were obsessed with it beforehand. You're failing, you're absolute failing to honestly cover the situation. It's been well documented that the media has covered up for Joe Biden. And now the media has been furious that Donald Trump has kept his mouth shut. I mean, the media is out there begging Donald Trump to say something. The media is out there begging Donald Trump to do something. The media is begging Donald Trump to rear his head. Notice they're not out there wanting to elevate Kamala Harris. They're not out there trying to boost her profile. Only Donald Trump's. Because they think if Trump comes back and exposes himself to the public will turn against him. I don't think that's going to happen. I do not think the Democrats are going to have an easy election now. I mean, they weren't to begin with. If the election were held tomorrow, Donald Trump would win. Yes, incumbency has had its advantages, and I have long said those advantages would matter, except what the Democrats have now done. Let me read for you my piece this morning, Your Sins Will Find You Out. Just my very last point that I make before we go to commercial break. Biden is in the worst possible position for an American politician. He's both pitied for his condition and resented for lying about it. That is not something from which one can recover. Question from the Democrats is, for the Democrats is, Kamala Harris helped him cover it up. Can she overcome that? I don't know that she can.
You can follow Eric around on social media at EW Erickson on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. And check him out at EWErickson.com. You can be live on Eric's show by calling 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425.
Greetings. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. Steve, thank you for waiting as patiently as you have on hold to talk about this issue. Welcome to the Eric Erickson Show, Stephen. How are you?
Well, thank you. And I did want to, you mentioned the book. I pre-ordered the book. I've almost finished it, and I feel pretty well educated. And,
well, thank you.
Appreciate you doing that. My wife's a Presbyterian pastor as well, so we're having some nice dialogue about the book as we read it. But the one thing I wanted to mention today is I remember the other morning I heard a soundbite or clip from the Morning Joe show where our president called in and pretty much said, run against me. And I'm thinking about this sort of steaming stew that the Democrats have created. And I'm thinking about, well, wasn't RFK Jr. trying to run?
Yeah.
Is there anybody any more elite than a Kennedy on the Democratic side? And how might that have changed things if this whole procedure would have been open?
Well, keep in mind as well, too, they had Dean Phillips, who actually did mount a campaign against Joe Biden, and they shut him out. In fact, New Hampshire and Iowa, they largely excluded them because they wanted to go before South Carolina. Joe Biden wanted it to go first. So they didn't treat that seriously. RFK tried to get into the Democratic Party primary. They closed the door on him, so he's had to run as an independent. Now they're freaking out about him because he's actually gone up to about 15% in some of the latest polling post-debate, and he's mostly coming from Biden's, where he's getting some of Trump supporters, but some of Biden's support as well. They bungled this the whole way through because they tried to cover, and now the knives are coming out for everyone. In fact, Stephen, thanks again for waiting as patiently as you did. CNN just dropped this story. Here's the headline. They just dropped this. Angry and stunned, Democrats blame Biden's closest advisors for shielding public from full extent of president's decline. They just dropped this. They're coming for Biden's staff. AFP is coming for you to get you to support them and the common sense solutions to secure the border. They've got a website, secureborderSecureAmerica.com. They want you to go to it and find out all the policy positions necessary to secure the border and secure America, from border walls to border agents to judges to process amnesty claims to technology. There are areas of the border that physical borders just not practical, but technology could use to serve and supplement. And they're all there. All these policy proposals, they've been talked about by Republicans for years. So you should go to secureborderSecureAmerica.com. Find out more. Find out all about the policy positions, and then get involved. You can call your members of Congress. They make it very easy for you to get involved, get plugged in, get engaged with Congress to push them on these common sense solutions to secure the border. All you do is go to secureborderSecureAmerica.com. SecureBorderSecureAmerica.com. It's brought to you by my friends at Americans for Prosperity.
Smart, fearless, and occasionally funny. You're listening to the Eric Erickson Show.
Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across the nation. The phone number is 877-973-7425. I want to apologize for something. I work very hard to try to cover an array of news, and we have been almost singly focused this whole week so far on the collapse of Joe Biden's candidacy for the presidency, and he's still in the race. But there really isn't a lot of other news out there. This is it, but the story changes every single day. And what's happening now, the rats are starting to flee the ship. It's a warning sign when the backbiting begins. I gotta tell you guys, I have run campaigns for office. I've run federal campaigns. I've run state campaigns. I've run state legislative campaigns. I've run county commission races, city council races. I got myself elected to city council. I know how to run a campaign, and my win-loss record is very good. And dysfunctional campaigns all end the same way. The staff turn on each other. That's beginning to happen with Joe Biden's campaign. A number of years ago, I was in Washington, D.C., and a very dear friend of mine, who she may be listening right now, you know, today is the 20th anniversary of the start of RedState.com. It's kind of wild. I was the editor of Red State for 10 years, and one of the brilliant people we convinced to start writing with us on our group site went by the name Academic Elephant. And Academic Elephant, her name's Victoria Coates. She's now a deputy national security advisor for Donald Trump. She now is over at the Heritage Foundation. And when Rumsfeld retired, his team, his chief of staff, Keith, who's now my book agent, reached out to me. He said, hey, the secretary would love to work with this guy, Academic Elephant, who wrote about the military as well as Academic Elephant did, and would love to partner with him on writing his memoirs. And I was like, well, Academic Elephant is not a man and not in the military. She is a woman, a professor of art history. And Rumsfeld was intrigued, as he should be, because Victoria is one of the most awesome people on planet Earth you will ever meet. Her husband, George, is even better. They're two of the most amazing people, dear friends. And so Victoria went to work for Rumsfeld. And Keith was off somewhere, who had been Rumsfeld's chief of staff and then was working with him out of the Pentagon. And I was in D.C., and Victoria called and says, could you accompany us to a museum exhibit the secretary wants to go to, has been invited to? I forget, it was some famous portrait photographer who had been taking portraits of people in Washington for eons. And the secretary had shoulder replacement surgery and was loath to have Victoria carry his briefcase. Would not have a woman carry his briefcase. It was impolite to make a woman carry his briefcase. So would I come carry his briefcase? And I did. I had met him a couple of times, but this was awesome, y'all. So I got to walk through this museum exhibit with portraits going all the way back to the Eisenhower administration. And he knew Dwight Eisenhower. He had stories about everyone. I remember there's Bella Abzug. There was Dwight Eisenhower. There was Nixon and Ford. There were different people from the Nixon administration, different members of Congress. Of course, there was Dick Cheney. He passed the portrait of Earl Warren. And Rumsfeld was very good friends with Gerald Ford, who was on the Warren Commission. And Rumsfeld, I think, did some assisting behind the scenes with Ford. And he said, the Warren Commission and Ford's time on that commission is what convinced him there's no government conspiracy. So because of whatever you may think about Lee Harvey Oswald and who did it and was there a second shooter stuff, he said, it's impossible. No one in government can keep a secret. Everybody rats each other out. And if they don't rat each other out, they ultimately get exposed. Your sins will find you out. And that's what's happening to the Democrats right now. They and their friends in the media, and it was a joint effort, the media was complicit. They tried to cover up Joe Biden's decline. And all the world saw it for themselves at that debate. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. You can't unsee your naked grandmother. You can't repress what you saw about Joe Biden. And now the rats are fleeing the ship and they're stabbing each other in the back. In Washington, this is from CNN, just landed. There have been clear signs throughout his term of Biden being increasingly stage managed, with lists of talking points, names of questioners, and drawings of where he should walk presented to him by aides. Ahead of closed-door cabinet meetings that Biden attends, and by the way, they haven't met in 9 months, it is customary for cabinet officials to submit questions and key talking points that they plan to present in front of Biden ahead of time to White House aides, two sources with direct knowledge told CNN. The entire display is kind of an act, one of those sources told CNN. They would come and say, hey, the president is going to call on you about 25 minutes in and ask this question, what are the bullet points you'll respond with? The second source, who echoed the same description, said when Biden attends cabinet meetings, they are not freewheeling and pretty well orchestrated, and the meetings themselves are infrequent, with one cabinet secretary telling CNN they are uncertain of Biden's condition because they so rarely see him. In fact, the last full cabinet meeting took place on October 2nd, 2023. Sources also said cabinet meetings during the Obama years, which Biden attended as vice president, were not pre-scripted this way. Even as the oldest sitting president in history at 81, Biden's halting performance at CNN's presidential debate last month came as a serious shock to most inside the White House and across the administration, including senior officials who have known the president for years and regularly have private conversations and meetings with him. I want to reread that to you because that really stands out. Came as a serious shock to most inside the White House, including senior officials who have known the president for years and regularly have private conversations and meetings with him. How regularly are you meeting with him if that came as a shock? And also, if it came as a shock and you are regularly meeting with him, why was it a shock? And why aren't you out defending him? Because if you're having regular meetings with Joe Biden and this comes as a shock to you, then you should be willing to go out and defend him, and yet no one is. Ben Smith highlights this Semaphore article, where is President Biden's cavalry? President Biden's nomination hopes took hit after hit in the last 24 hours, from a cryptic Nancy Pelosi non-endorsement to a brutal op-ed by George Clooney to a growing rebellion in the House and Senate. But just as concerning for the president was what didn't happen, a clear, organized response on behalf of Biden from his supporters in Congress. Where was the press conference near the Capitol with an overwhelming display of support from different party factions pushing back? Where was the joint letter with dozens of signatures from a relevant caucus, or broad coalition of elected supporters? For that matter, why haven't these things happened in the 2 weeks after the debate? There isn't one coming. There's a general sense, back to CNN, there's a general sense of just unbelievable holding your breath every time he does an event, every time he's with people. One top Democrat in close touch with Biden's inner circle of advisors told CNN. The person added that some of those advisors had privately acknowledged this is going to get worse. The Democrat was blunt about how the president's closest advisors have responded to any criticism or concerns about the president. Everyone who expressed any level of suspicion or contrary views, they call everyone and they beat the crap out of them and say, stay on message. At least one official involved in Biden's debate prep at Camp David raised doubts about his ability after seeing how rehearsals were going. It's not like Biden's inner circle didn't know this, one Democratic strategist close to the White House said. Oof. As for President Biden's campaign meetings, the White House provided a statement from Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack, saying what is described in the story is standard practice for any administration. There should be no surprise in cabinet meetings. And then there's poor old Andrew Bates, who must be hating his job right now, pushing back on all this. Y'all, the Democrats are completely in disarray. Completely in disarray. They don't know how to handle themselves. Nancy Pelosi is having temper tantrums. As she walks through Capitol Hill, she was ambushed by a reporter. You know, she gave her non-answer the other day, saying, we'll give Biden time to make up his decision. Well, he's already made up his decision. What do you respond? We'll give him time to make up his decision. Now she's being confronted by reporters and doesn't like it.
Do you believe that him waiting so long to make this
I'm
decision?
I'm not going to make any comments in the hallway about the fate of our nation. Okay?
Are you concerned whether or not he can win in November?
I think he can.
Do you believe he should run for re-election?
I'm not speaking English to you. I'm not going to be making any statements about any of that right now in the hallway.
I'm speaking English. Do you not understand me? I'm not making any statements in the hallway. By the way, she's starting to show her age more than she had been. Senator Blumenthal from Connecticut is now speaking frankly.
I am deeply concerned about Joe Biden winning this November.
Deeply concerned about it. And Governor Pritzker of Illinois was caught on a hot mic saying this.
We're just going to keep fighting. I don't know what to say. You know, I gotta do what we have to do. I don't like where we are, but...
On a hot mic. We just got to keep fighting, doing what we're doing. I don't like where we are, but... They know. But they've known all along. They've known all along. You got Chuck Todd. I played it in the first hour. 2 years ago, a cabinet secretary told him Biden wasn't fit. Carl Bernstein on CNN said for 18 months, Democrats been telling him this. Olivia Nuzzi wrote that in January, Biden friends said Biden didn't recognize them. And Biden still refused to go. I got to play this audio for you. This is Chuck Todd on Chuck Todd's podcast talking about rethinking Joe Biden.
And it has made me want to rethink a lot of the Biden biography. I still can't believe he ran for president in the first place, given that his family was in crisis in 2018. That you look at what has happened. I can't believe he put his family through this. And now looking at his behavior now in clinging to this, I think the entire narrative on Joe Biden is going to change in that he's always been, everything has been about his ambition, and his ambition comes first.
Had you listened to Republicans, you wouldn't be surprised by this. As I said 2 weeks ago after that debate, this is a man who abandoned his family after their mother died for Washington, D.C. to be a senator. His surviving son became a drug addict who got his deceased son's wife addicted to drugs. His daughter is a drug addict. His wife likes the power and likes to call herself doctor when she's a teacher. This is not a functional family that is capable of sitting Joe Biden down and saying, Dad, sweetheart, it's time to retire. They can't do it. They need him in Washington because they need his gravy train, and Jill Biden does not want to deal with her kids without him. Vision Computer wants you to buy a computer from them, and I want you to buy a computer from Vision because they can build you a computer that's going to save you money and it's going to last. Unlike the one-size-fits-all generic big-box store computers, it's going to be great. Vision Computers built it for you, and then you get their award-winning customer service where you got any question at all about your computer, you can get the answer 15 seconds or less, faster than a Google search. All you do, call them at 404-COMPUTE. Tell them I sent you. Get a great deal. 404-COMPUTE or visioncomputers.com. But wait, there's more. Let's say you've got a computer. You're not in the market for a new computer, but you sure are in the market for somebody to help you figure out your computer. Something's not working right on your computer, or you just don't know how to do something. You got email problems, printer problems. Vision Computers can help you. And again, 15 seconds or less, you get the answer. In many cases, they can remote in and take care of your computer without you even having to touch the keyboard. All you do is you call them at 404-COMPUTE and say, Vision, we want your help. $179 a year. $179 a year. Not a month, not a day, not a week. A year. And you save even more money if you tell them I sent you. Call them and say, Eric Erickson sent me. 404-COMPUTE, visioncomputers.com. Now listen, all of you out there in my new affiliate, Oklahoma City, or Sacramento, or up there in Maine, or Connecticut, Vision Computers can work with you as well. They do it nationwide. Any one of you nationwide can take advantage of this. They can build you the computer, ship it to you. They can be your tech support solution wherever you are in the country. 404-COMPUTE or visioncomputers.com.
Well-connected and respected. It's Eric Erickson live every weekday. 3777 now.
Hello there. It's Eric Erickson. Glad to have you. The phone number, well, too late. Phones are closed. I got one more caller I want to get to, though. John, you're up next. Welcome. How are you?
Great, Eric. I love your show.
Thank you. Now, don't screw up, because you're the last caller of the day, so you're not allowed to screw up here.
Exactly. Well, listen to this. The last two hot things that came off the wire that you just read, okay? Guess what, Eric? Don't let the press off so easy. Us lay people out here in America don't want to let you give them a pass. They've been omitting stories, hiding the fact that Joe has lost it. They never ask questions at the press briefings like they did with the Trump administration. They covered everything up. So don't let them off the hook so easy. They covered up the whole 3.5 years that Biden has been in office.
Look, please, you're not wrong, and I'm not getting them off the hook. What I have said the whole time was the press corps needs to answer this question. Either were you shut out so that you were fooled, or if you weren't, why didn't you report it? And if you were fooled, why is it that you, the members of the press, were fooled when random Joe385 on Twitter has known the whole time that Joe Biden had dementia, Parkinson's,
yes,
whatever they want to call it now. I mean, that's the thing here, to get to your point, John, is that random soccer moms on Twitter and random blue-collar workers on Twitter with anonymous pictures and whatnot, they've all known for 4 years. They've known. In 2020, it was obvious. Joe Biden of 2020 was not the Joe Biden of 2016. They've all known it. How was it that the press corps didn't know?
Yes, sir. And if I can real quick point out, look at how silently they sit in the press briefings until just recently, like 3 days ago. But again, all for the past 3 years, they attack Trump with accusations, screaming at him. And mm-hmm. and they say they didn't know about this. No, it's the media and the Democrat Party working together to cover for them always. And now they couldn't hide him in the basement. He did that debate the other day, and everybody who watches Republican news or conservative news, we've been seeing it. Average Americans have been seeing it. They're caught, and now they're stuck in a hard place. Yes,
they
sir.
Absolutely are. Now, John, you didn't disappoint. You didn't screw up as a caller. You're a great final caller for the day. Thank you for calling in.
All right. Yes, sir.
Have a great day. Now, listen, to John's point, though, I will say there are some reporters I know I do trust who they weren't the cool kids in the press room. So they didn't get all the answers, and their fear, you're seeing some of them have a meltdown, but a lot of them did. I mean, look at what's his name from the New York Times, who's hung out with Biden, Peter Baker. His wife has written fawningly about Biden. They both hate Trump. He wrote about the 25th Amendment with Trump. He's been absolutely quiet about it with Biden. The double standard here. How did you guys not know when random people on social media knew the whole time and y'all were pushing back, telling them they didn't know what they talk about? There's got to be accountability for the American press corps if they want to redeem themselves. And I don't know that they can redeem themselves.